He said, nah, but I was on NBC.
Log Talk Radio.
Nah.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Never gets old. What is up? We are officially talking sports with the 12th man on this July 10th day, if you will. Again, I'm not going to act like we were going fast for the month because I got criticized last time, but I was just excited. What can I say? We are officially ready to talk some sports. We're excited. And I'm joined by my fellas who hopefully do not like to lick the ice cream and put it back in. For the love of God, America, I know it's a sports talk, but do not lick the ice cream and put it back in there. I'm just saying. That's messed up, man. I'm just saying. I'm sorry. I said that. I'm just saying.
Sounds
anyway,
like something you would do, Jay.
That's not what I that's why I'm doing a quick public service announcement. If you need to do that, you got some serious problems, man, messing up ice cream for everyone. I'm a huge ice cream fan, but I'm just saying. I just had to, like, make
that's
a call.
That's like drinking
anyway,
out of the jug and putting it back in the refrigerator.
There's so many different things we can talk about. But, again, I digress. We are officially ready to talk some sports, hanging out with my fellas. And first and foremost, let's kick it out to my main man, Mr. JQ, who was throwing some good jokes this morning or this afternoon as well. But how you feeling this evening, bro?
Oh, man, I can't complain. Just getting back in the group of things after 4th of July, going to work and hustling and grinding. How you doing today, man?
JQ is making that money. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. You didn't say anything about that? Yeah,
no.
Okay, all good. Okay.
No, I knew that's a lie. That's what I was like, yeah, I guess.
It's all good, man. We're happy to have you on the show. Mr. Robert Ford, the instigator, the habitual line stepper. Welcome, bro, to the show. How you feeling this evening, man?
Doing good. On this strict diet, man, eating boring food like grilled salmon, green beans, and broccoli. Man, but I guess I got to do it.
We don't want you blowing up like your boy. So
you know what?
We
got to stop having the food hour because Rob is letting us down. He used to talk about having beignets and shrimp etouffee. Not here talking about kale and quinoa, man. Come on, man. What you got happening?
Yeah,
what,
man.
I've
lost about 10 pounds. I got about 7 to 10 more to go. So I guess I got to eat the kale and the quinoa and the salmon.
That stuff is good for you, though. I'm not gonna lie.
I got my 5K in today.
Bro, you could do a kale banana smoothie in the morning, man. It's good for you, man. That's what I do. Add a little honey. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, man.
That's what
I do. Curtis and Gary, stay tuned. Welcome, you guys. They didn't expect to jump into this conversation, but again, we will talk.
Hey,
to
Gary,
guys,
I need
sure.
one of them huckleberry shakes.
Hey, there you go. That'll be bad, yeah. And you guys are talking like you guys are on the West Coast without that kale and quinoa and all that. That's a West Coast. That's California. And are you dry in New Orleans?
I'm in Houston right now, so I'm dry. I'm dry in Houston right now, but I know New Orleans had a rough day with weather today, so keep them in your prayers.
All right, okay.
Absolutely.
We will do that.
Yeah,
but
Gary, I've been working hard, man. I'm working hard so I can get one of them huckleberry shakes when I come to Portland in a couple of weeks.
Oh, absolutely. I'm inviting everybody up here, everybody on this show. I want us to sit at the round table here and do the show live, all of us together. That's what I'm looking forward to doing.
Yeah.
There's some discussion. I got a partner that owns a club,
a venue, and I know that there's some podcasters that do their live podcasts and they sell tickets to it in my friend's venue. And I got to go check one out, and I got to see what that's all about. And if we all come up to Portland, I'm going to try to get us in there, and I'm going to see if we can sell some tickets.
Gary, let's do it, man. I got family. I got family in Portland. You know, again, we want to make sure that Rob's habit of drinking is not going to be overdue, but we'll have some fun for sure, man. But it's all good, man.
Yeah, you know, Portland has the most microbreweries per capita in the United States, so that might not be safe for JQ.
See, there you go.
I was trying to get it first. Oh, man. All right, before we get too off the rails here, really quickly, we are ready to get this party started. We got a lot of things to discuss. Let me throw out the numbers to the show if you want to reach out to your boys, as we always do every single week. Call us, tweet us, all that fun stuff. The reason that we are existing to hear you guys, make sure you guys are enjoying what we're putting out there. So, again, the best way to call into the show is always calling the number, the 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man, or if you put in 12th man sports, you will find us as well. Let's kick this off. We had a lot of NBA goings on, obviously, during the weekend. We're going to kick off with Marcus Morris potentially backing out of that Spurs deal. I'm going to kick it off with Rob and let this party get started. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, obviously, Marcus Morris and his agency, it's still a phrase from Skip Bayless, Unclutch Sports. And Rich Paul, they're thinking about pulling away from a deal with the Spurs and going to the Knicks instead. So I think that's it's not final, but if it does take place, I think that is unethical, and that's a cheap shot from Unclutch Sports and Marcus Morris. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, it's not finalized just yet. But initially, he gave his commitment to sign a contract with the Spurs, and they're contemplating reneging on the Spurs to go to the Knicks. I'll say this: the Knicks, you know, they didn't get none of the top five or top six free agents, but I think they're a borderline playoff team with some of the moves they made. And if they are able to get Marcus Morris, I think they could be one of those teams that's in that 6-8 range in the Eastern Conference this year. I really do.
I agree with you. I mean, they sound like four power fours, but I mean, if they could kind of find a way to divvy that up and spread it around, I agree with you. They likely have not done the typical New York thing and overpaid a couple of guys who looking like 90,000 with 4 or 5 years of ridiculousness. I'll give them credit for that.
Like the Mitchell Robinson kid, and then you got Dennis Smith Jr. You sign Elfrid Payton. You have Julius Randle. Really key pieces there. And then, of course, the young players, Kevin Knox and R.J. Barrett there, and Taj Gibson. So, I mean, I really like the move. And Bobby Portis, too, I tell you, don't sleep on him. He had a really good year with the Bulls last year as well. So they have some quality pieces to be really competitive next season.
Yeah, but my only thing about that to finish that off is that this is a Morris twin. Are we really surprised that a Morris twin would do this? I'm just saying, if you watch the NBA and you watch them at Kansas and then come into the league and be who they are, I mean, they can play. They can play a specific role, but them dudes don't care. Man, they do what they want to do. The Morris twins are nuts. So when they do stuff like this, it don't even register for me. I'm like, okay, yep.
Well, what does that say about the Spurs? I mean, because, you know, a few years ago, the Spurs were that team that, hey, everybody wanted to go to. Now, what does it say anything negative about them and their organization? You know, you had Kawhi that had issues there and wanted out. LaMarcus wanted out until he had a conversation you know, with the coaching staff there, and they talked him into staying. So what does that say about that organization? Has that organization changed that much?
No, Kim Duncan.
Well, you have to wonder if it's Greg Popovich. Has the time passed him by? I don't know.
No.
He's one of the better coaches in the game, but can he relate to the players? You have to wonder that. To steal a phrase from Rick Pitino, Tim Duncan is not walking through that door. Manu Ginobili is not walking through that door. David Robinson is not walking through that door anymore. So it just could be one of those kind of things where the only thing that was really appealing to go play for him was to go play for a championship. And right now, they are somewhere between the 5 or 8 seed at best in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and I you know, heard some things about, you know, Adam Silver. You know, he doesn't mind the meddling, and he says there's nothing he can do about the meddling and, you know, the players talking to each other and the flirtation or whatever that is. But what he's concerned about is the breaking of contracts and just reneging on your contracts and stuff. And he wants to try to figure out a way where that's not that easy to do anymore. So there's a lot of, you know, this free agency thing that we had this year opened up a lot of eyes on how maybe spoiled these NBA players are, and maybe they need to rein them in some more.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you one thing that I do like what Adam Silver is going to look into changing. And I know this wasn't necessarily a topic, but since you brought up Adam Silver, they got to change the way they do these draft night trades. And
I agree.
And they don't become official until July 6th. I mean, that is ridiculous.
That's terrible.
Go ahead
That's
and
terrible.
Announce the trade, make them official, and these guys couldn't even play for their new teams on the opening night of the summer league because they had to wait till July 6th. That is dumb. That is stupid. That is beyond stupid. And the NBA, Adam Silver is right. They have to fix that. And they have traded the draft rights to so-and-so and all this kind of foolishness. It's a trade. Make it official.
Sorry, Jake. The Lakers holding it up, man. They held it forever, man. I was like, man, it took them forever to execute the trade. They're holding back to see what was happening with Kawhi. But still, I'm not, like, mad. It's like, oh, you just hope that they get that fixed for sure. But go ahead. I didn't mean to take your thunder, Rob.
No, but they got to flip free agency in the draft, and that's what they're talking about doing.
Yep.
Is changing that order so you don't have that happen. So the NFL doesn't, and they need to adopt that because, again, you sign it 5 minutes after the free agency starts. Like, you already know what you're going to do. Why are we even going to the charade? You might as well just move them around so you can make a pitcher. I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was terrible. Anyway, we'll talk about that too. So we got to talk about a couple moves here because, as we know, obviously, Kawhi, the anti-superstar, and you got to see the thread that happened, man, just kind of him holding off, making his announcement until Saturday, which was fantastic, I thought. Just kind
of
holding.
Middle of the night, too.
It was beautiful, man. So he became, you know, news. And then him getting, obviously, Paul George to play with him with the Clippers. He talked about a crazy, like, weekend. But this definitely affects the Thunder, the OKC Thunder. And now you have a team, once again, that had Harden, had Durant, and everyone is possibly going to be leaving. So let's talk about Russell Westbrook, guys. And I guess the word on the street is now he's open to being traded because, again, he's not going to be down for this this rebuild, if you will. And then, you know, you talked about the Knicks, Rob, earlier. I kind of think that would be a great move if the Knicks could somehow pull this off, even if it doesn't, like, you know, make them to the top. But now you have star power, which the Knicks are starving for. So, again, obviously it seems like he's more aligned to go with the Miami Heat. But again, I do like that kind of, like, if I'm the Knicks, I'm like, hey, let's make it happen. But right now, let's see how he fits in with the Miami Heat and the crazy boy known as Jimmy Butler, who, as JQ said, he's an asswipe. But go ahead, JQ, with your thoughts on that, man.
I mean, I just don't know how Miami, unless they get a third team and maybe even potentially a fourth team involved in that trade scenario, can afford it. They're right still up against the cap limit, and especially after signing Jimmy Butler. I mean, I can see both those dudes being together. They are both, like, outcasts in their own kind of way, but still able to be able to ball. But that's a big – that's a lot of money Miami is putting into Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook at their ages at this point. Do you say we're just trying to stay relevant and we're trying to make sure we can still be a part of the conversation or what if you're Miami when you make that move? But to me, it's more just a stunning of a contender. Oklahoma City, we thinking, oh, they got Paul George. They got Russell Westbrook. They're going to make a move in the Western Conference. In the blinking of an eye, Paul George is gone to the Clippers. Now you're talking about trading Russell Westbrook. Like, what's going on with Oklahoma City in, like, a time of 4 or 5 days is ridiculous. I can't remember the last time I've seen a team just turn a 180 in a blink of an eye and trade off their stars and just accumulate assets. That's to this level. That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, you have to say that they're one of the teams that is not going to go back to the playoffs next year in the Western Conference. And easy. Even if they found a way to keep Russell Westbrook, I can't see them being a team in the playoffs next year in the Western Conference. So, obviously, they're thinking total rebuild at this stage. And for Russell Westbrook to the Miami Heat with Jimmy Butler, how would those personalities mesh? It would be really interesting. I mean, their talent alone will probably get them in the playoffs, but I just can't see those personalities meshing for them to be a contender even in the Eastern Conference. I just can't. With Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler. Would they be exciting to watch? Absolutely. But I just can't see those personalities meshing to put them a championship team together in Miami.
You know, I can't either. You know, he can't get along with a guy like, you know, Kevin Durant, who's, you know, a pretty laid-back guy. He's not going to get, you know, he's not going to get along with this other knucklehead. They're, you know, they're too. I don't know what Pat Riley's even thinking, even considering this move myself. Because I don't think they would be. I think it would be just a nightmare, really.
Well, there was a question out there. What happened to Oklahoma City? You got to look to the last three playoff runs that they had in the last 3 years. Those first round exits were as ugly as can be. And I guess the Paul George and the breaking of that contract, now that was one of the things I was mentioning earlier. Amazing, but, you know, Kawhi, apparently what I heard, and he made the phone call, he needed another superstar to go down to the Clippers. He needed another top 10 player to go with him. And they made the deal and got Paul George over there. But, yeah, it's been ugly. And that Portland loss without Nurkic probably opened up a lot of eyes out there. And then you get somebody to bail out on you. So what do you do? And what do you do if you're Westbrook?
It's a sinking ship.
Yeah. Let's get off. And what we would hope is that Westbrook would go to a place where he can make an impact, because he is, a lot of people I hear, he's kind of fun to watch. He's a guy that puts butts in the seats. And so I want to wish Russell Westbrook well, and he needs to be somewhere that has a shot. He needs to be somewhere where we're putting butts in the seats and we're making the NBA exciting again.
Just Russell Westbrook and Paul George light if he goes to Miami. So you replace, you know, Paul George on his team with Jimmy Butler in that similar role. Like, it feels like it's the same kind of thing. The mind was like, okay, if y'all don't want to do it, we'll do it. Come on. And if you can make that work through Miami, I understand it to a certain extent, because just think about it. Jimmy Butler and Paul George have a lot of similarities in their game in terms of what they're bringing to the table. So I mean, I get it in the East. If you're a 5 or 6 seed in the West, you might be a 3 seed in the East with those two. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of those situations, too. I agree with you, man, because, you know, I don't know if they have the personality type to coexist. Talent-wise, Robert, you nailed it on the head. I mean, they haven't. And now it's talking about chemistry. And for some reason, man, you just wonder what happened because it seems like Russell, he's just not that dude, man. You run out like 2 superstars, 3 almost, it feels like. But not run them out, but it just doesn't seem like, I don't know. And then Kawhi, give him credit because it was kind of interesting to see how if Toronto could have made it work, he probably would have stayed in Toronto, but then it worked out with Paul George to kind of all the assets to go to the Clippers. So the Clippers, let's talk about them as well, and we'll get to the Lakers as well. We'll kind of throw JQ a bone and talk about what's happening with the Lakers. Don't cry for them. They've been making moves. Freaking LeBron's playing point guard, shades of Magic. What? JQ, is this the best team that LeBron has been on?
That's a tough question because you predicate on what you think this Lakers team is going to do this year. Because you cannot forget our young, you know, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh coming together. Adding them with a James Posey and a James Jones. I mean, that Miami team was pretty good. And it has them. Let me not forget Haslam. So I can't put that on that Lakers team yet until I see what they do this year. I think that might be a cop-out in the question, but that's the team that I'm looking at that would compare what they have going right now to this year. So until I see him perform, that team, that Heat team, I think is the best one he has.
Yeah, I think that first Heat team, their second year together, though, the year they beat OKC in the finals 4-1, I think that was the best team LeBron has been on, that particular team, even more so than the one that beat the Spurs the following year in 7. I thought that particular Heat team had a really good flow when it came to offensively. They were really a top-notch defensive team that year, too, as well. That's going to be tough to duplicate. I think this Laker team has the potential definitely to win the championship on next year, depending on health and things of that nature. I think they're definitely a contender, but it's still hard for me to say that they're better than that Heat team just yet. Dwayne Wade was still in his prime. That was right before he started to kind of fall apart with the injuries. Chris Bosh was nailing threes as well as playing outstanding defense. Great pick and roll defense, great in the post, great rim protector that time in his career as well. So that was a tough team around that time. And as good as Anthony Davis is, he's a solid 3-point shooter, but Chris Bosh was deadly at that point in his career.
Oh, are you saying Chris Bosh was better than Anthony Davis at that point right now?
No, I'm saying from the outside, he was deadly, hitting wide open threes.
Oh, okay. I just had to ask. I thought I was saying, Wow, what a hot
dog. That's exactly what he said. Get it started.
Hey,
Gary, do you got to take care?
You got to listen clearly. You know, I said he was definitely a better 3-point shooter than Anthony Davis. I didn't say he was better all around.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to be interested. This is the first time LeBron has gotten this much rest. And I'm going to be really interested in what he did with this much rest, how much shape he got into, and how much focus he let his mind on a potential championship run for the Lakers with all this time he's had to think about it and all the potentials that they were able to gain. Also, I remember, was it 3 years ago, when Anthony Davis was looking like one of the best guys in the league? I think it was 3, and not to mention that year they beat Portland in the, I think it was the second round, they swept, beat Portland, they swept Portland, you know, and we saw that Anthony Davis, but they had some other people with him that really
had a healthy
put a burden on
Giroux. Rondo was playing.
Yeah,
they had a squad. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and that's another thing. Let's see his focus. Let's see how much in shape he gets. Let's see him in the weight room, getting off injuries, getting off all that stuff. And let's see their focus. If they got the focus and they got the hunger down there in L.A., they got a huge shot. But the West is going to be a dogfight. Coming out of this West is going to be a dogfight. Almost 18 deep. Yeah, almost 18 deep in this West here that can take a bite at you. And so with the Lakers, their potential and what you think about and what I have seen in the past from the people that they got there, they put that stuff together, they're going to be a tough out.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
You agree, Gary? Chat.
You know, I think that, it's all going to depend. This year, it's going to depend who stays healthy. You're going to have five teams, maybe even six teams in the West that can win it all. And
really?
It's going to be a battle, in my opinion. I don't think the Lakers are just a shoe-in. I've seen them. I think they're second or third. Are they first now? I know it's been fluctuating back and forth with this whole thing as the odds makers, but it's going to be tough. One thing that one of the NBA guys had on there is Blazers only winning 42 games this year, and I'm going to put if that's still
in Vegas,
I'm betting big on that.
Put $100 on that.
You know, I'm curious about the game.
Well, hey, I think they made great moves. Stayed within their cap space, and I think they made phenomenal moves. And I think the Blazers are going to be one of the top. They're two, three, or four in the West. That's my pick.
But the boys they got from Miami and the boy they got from Atlanta, I got to see what those guys are about because I haven't seen them. The big boy, though, I have seen. Yeah, Whiteside, he better be hungry. And he better, the Blazers need to get him a pit bull and start feeding him pepper because he's going to need to beat up some people out here in the West. I hate to say if I'm touching that team, that's what I want for Whiteside. Yeah, take your young butt and get out there and take LeBron and throw him in the stands a couple of times. Okay, here we go. It's time to fight. And Nurkic out here is walking around.
I definitely think the Blazers are top, at worst, the top five team in the Western Conference. But I agree with you. If they can get some tenacity out of Whiteside, if they can get him to be at least a 14-11 kind of guy with three blocks, I think the Blazers are definitely at worst a top five team in the Western Conference next year.
I agree. If they're able to float until Nurkic comes back into the playoffs a little later than the playoffs, and pull him back in from that injury, and Whiteside's doing that with McCollum and Lillard, they're gonna be a tough out. If he comes back, that's gonna be tough. Going to the playoffs, if he comes back and he's him, you're like, hey, you add him to those three guys. If we feel like they play up to their potential, Portland will be under the radar. Yeah, if it's 42 to win, over under, it's time to put 100 on that. I would agree.
Yeah, they would definitely be a contender. They would definitely be a contender to win the West next year, and at worst, the top five team in the West.
Nice. All right, so I'm going to kick it out to the West Coast on this. West Coasters, do you think the Clippers are the best team in the NBA right now? I'm going to be curious to hear Furious's unbiased opinion, but what's your thoughts?
You know, I think they're right up there. I don't know if they are or not. I think they're a phenomenal – I think on paper right now, as it stands, if everybody stays healthy, I think they can – they got a good coach. I think they can – they can definitely do some damage. I think the West is just going to be really crowded, and it's going to be a tough one for anybody in the West. I don't think you're going to have all these sweeps and, you know, one team just blowing through everybody like we've seen the Warriors do the last several years. I think this year all these playoff teams, I think all of them are just going to be nothing but dogfights. I think it's going to be one of the most exciting seasons coming up.
One thing you got to like,
yeah.
And the one thing I'm hearing, you got Jerry West involved over there. You got Doc Rivers involved. You got Steve Ballmer. You know, Steve Ballmer, he kind of reminds me of a better the guy in Dallas. And then you got L.A. Almost all those athletes are already down in L.A. All these basketball athletes, they spend their summers, almost all of them, spend their summers in L.A. So just they like being down there. They like being in Southern California. All of them.
It's nice weather.
The nice weather, big city, everything for you, a lot of entertainment. You know, you got movie stars, so you won't be the biggest star in L.A. You know, unlike if you come to Portland, you're a big star in the NBA, if you're a big star in the NBA. In L.A., LeBron is not the biggest star in L.A. He's up there, but he's not. So I guess there's that kind of comfort for an NBA player. But what I think the Clippers have going for them, I think they got a very rich owner that seems to be a very, very cool guy. And you got Doc Rivers, which seems to have the pulse on the NBA and the pulse on how to get things done. With Jerry West, a legend, you know, it would be a great place to land, and everybody there might be comfortable. But there again, they have to focus. The West is going to be who's the hungriest and who's the meanest and who wants to stomp somebody's butt.
Pitbull and some pepper. JQ. Go ahead.
No, but I agree with that. But the other piece about the Clippers you talk about, which I think right now you can beg the question, are they the best because of the defense they're getting ready to be able to play? You're putting Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who are two top five defensive players in the NBA, with Patrick Beverley, who's also probably in your other top 10, the other five guys. You're putting all of them out on the wing. Good luck penetrating against all three of those guys trying to get to the hole. If the Clippers play like how they can play with those three guys on the wing, it's going to be tough to drive on them. I don't want that. Of course, I want the Lakers to ball out. But on paper, I'm looking at them defensively like it's going to be tough to score on the Clippers.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, they're definitely in the conversation. The Clippers are definitely in the conversation in the Western Conference and even the NBA as a whole. And if there's anything that's beautiful about this decision about Kawhi Leonard going to the Clippers, he just made the NBA have at least eight teams that have a chance of winning the NBA championship. Now, I guess it would have still been the same number if he would have decided to stay in Toronto, but if he would have went to the Lakers, I think that would have made it one less contender. Neither the Raptors nor the Clippers would have been a contender if he would have gone to the Lakers. So that's what makes it a little bit more interesting now. You have another team that has a chance to compete, which is going to make the NBA very compelling next season. I mean, extremely compelling when you look at the landscape next season. The regular season should be interesting, and the playoffs would definitely damn sure be interesting. When you get to the playoffs on next year. So they are definitely a contending team, and JQ made some great points from them from a defensive standpoint. And Harrell as well is a tough physical player in the paint. But I would like to see them get maybe another big that can help them on that end of the defensive. Lou Williams is a straight-up dagger. He can flat out shoot the basketball. So he's another guy that's going to really help them on offensive end as well. I mean, you talked about the guys on the defensive end, but having Lou Williams as well. He's borderline a 20-point scorer right now in the league. And so you add him into the mix as well from an offensive standpoint. They are a true legit championship contender now as well.
Yeah, I concur. Like you said, I think it was so exciting because now it's so wide open now, right? Again, you have such a – anyone can win, which is fantastic. So you're looking at this like, man, it's pretty much – that's what makes it pretty exciting, man, to say for sure. But, again, you have to play the games, but like you said, on paper – it looks like the Clippers are tough to beat, and they added some great defensive players already with, Patrick Beverley there, and like we talked about, now you just add, this is a squad, man, so it's going to be fun. All right. Hey, JQ, how many wins will the Lakers have? We got about 24 minutes or so here. How many wins will the Lakers have this season?
Ooh. I mean, it's going to be tough now, but there's still some beat-up teams in the East, not so much in the West. They can get some wins off of. If they stay healthy, I think, I'm not going to say this crazy. I think they can be 50-32.
Wow.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, sure. I think the Lakers could win at least 55 games this coming year. I really do.
Woo!
I think they could be a 55-win team this coming season. I don't like that. I think.
I love it.
Speaking to
West
LeBron,
Coast, what you think?
AD, DeMarcus Cousins, Kyle Kuzma. When you look at, having some veteran presence like a Rondo, I think they could be a 55-win team.
Rob doesn't sound too enthusiastic about that, JQ.
Hey, I'll be honest. A whole new team together, trying to learn how to play together. There'll be some games they play a good Western Conference team that they might lose early on in the season. They could win later on in the season because they've had more time to play together. So I'm factoring in losses that I think will happen as they try to integrate all these pieces earlier in the season. Games that could be swing games they would have won, they might lose because they are trying to put this together. They have no continuity not to trade all the roster. These guys have to go out here and play against other NBA teams to play. I mean, you have to learn how to do that as a team.
Well, the history of LeBron James are never easier with a new team. They do start off slow.
Yeah.
But by the end of the year, they seem to figure it out. And I know this is an older LeBron James, but if you look at the history of his teams, whenever he's on a new team or a new team with a lot of newcomers, they do start off the seasons. I mean, his first year with the Miami Heat, they were 9-8 after 17 games.
9-8. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they do start off slow. And there are some other examples, some other teams that are very similar, but by the end of the year, they start putting it together.
And he was starting to put it together last year. Until he got hurt.
Well,
But what you're saying, and what I'm hearing, is it going to be 55 games that can win the West? Can you win? Can you be the number one seed in the West with 55 games?
Ooh. I don't think the number one team in the West will win 60 games this year.
Right.
I don't
think the number one team in the West will have 60 wins this year. It's going to be somewhere between 55 to 58 at the most, I think, in the Western Conference this year. I don't think you're going to have a team. And, as much as I hate Golden State, that's another team I'm not willing to write off yet either. And,
no.
Because they could, I mean, they still got Steph Curry. They still got Draymond Green. They got D'Angelo Russell now. And there's reports of saying Klay Thompson could be back by February, March. Well,
come on, man.
Which, he's still planning to be 100%, but by the time April comes around, he may be ready. And then they got enough other role players on that team to help them as well. When you talk about Kevin Looney and a few other pieces there, I know they cut Sean Livingston. They traded Iguodala, but that's not a team that I would be willing to write off yet. Too, to me, there still could be in a conversation for top five in the Western Conference too.
You just signed Klay Thompson.
Didn't they cut Livingston today?
You cannot rush him back.
You can't rush him back.
You
got to.
I mean, they should be smart about it. Yeah,
you already saw what
those indications are he could be back around February or March.
I wouldn't do that if I just signed you to a 5-year deal. I'm going to give you some extra time so I can get most of the other 4 years out of you as opposed to rushing you back and you get re-injured. And then, okay,
well,
we're going to see.
They should be smart after what they saw happen to Kevin Durant.
That's what I'm saying. You got to give him some credit. They're not going to rush him back. Take your time, man.
Yeah.
If they saw what just happened to Kevin
Durant,
then they should be smart.
Like I said, I like it, man, because it does feel like it's a wide-open landscape. I mean, right now, just to kind of put a bow on what everyone has talked about, I think the Clippers have definitely catapulted themselves at the top. I mean, again, you have to play the game, but based on paper and everything like that, it's a really competitive squad. You added two great I think Paul George is totally underrated. Now you add Patrick Beverley with that. Man, that's a squad, man. They have the components. Man, yeah. It's going to be good. Hey, let's move here. We got about 19 minutes or so here. And this has been a pretty interesting topic. Our next one is talking about the negative impacts of players requesting trades in the NBA. I'm going to let Rob kind of talk about this too, because I'm kind of – there's two different directions I'm thinking about this, but I'm going to let Rob kind of lead on this, and then we'll see how it kind of tags with everyone else too. So go ahead, Rob. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's good and bad for the NBA. I think there are some positives and there are some negatives to it as well. I think the positive is this has been a very intriguing offseason for the NBA, and a lot of people are talking about NBA basketball right now. So it's, I think from the NBA perspective, you have to look at that as a positive. And now it may not be a positive for fans of certain teams, but I think from an overall landscape to the average fan, I think it makes the NBA a lot more appealing. Now the Lakers are appealing. The Clippers are appealing now. Golden State's still appealing. Portland is appealing. You still have the Rockets that'll be appealing. The 76ers, the Boston, they're in all regions of the NBA right now. So I think from that regard, it's a positive for the NBA. The negative is it seems to be hurting some of the smaller market teams. And maybe not all of them because, you know, relatively speaking, Portland is still a small market. They have an opportunity to be competitive on next year as well. But relatively speaking, when you look at the two teams, Oklahoma City and New Orleans, small market teams that trade stars to help other teams. From that standpoint, the NBA, you have to look at it as a negative. How these players were able to talk their way out of these teams. And it just goes to show you that the NBA is still a stars-driven league, and the stars run the NBA when it comes to – so in that regard, it's a negative. But from the visibility of the league, all the breaking news, and as much as we're talking about the NBA here in July, I think from a relatively speaking standpoint, the fan base, the average fans are going to be intrigued by the NBA because of these stories.
Yeah, but that's but my thing about it is if I'm a player and I can control my own destiny and I'm making millions, but you're making billions, I'm still going to try to get some level of control about my destiny where I'm going to go. I love it from the player's standpoint. They're able to move around like that. You may not like it, but you've also seen why he could have went to L.A. and played with LeBron and AD and chose not to and said, yeah, I can do this with Paul George. I could have just had a short thing with these two, but I'll bring one other guy with me and we'll still make it happen with Pat Beverly. Like, that's a powerful statement. I like that about it because, you know, you feel like he's still teamed up with Paul George. He had to trade for Paul George. He orchestrated that to happen, and it happened, and, yeah, I can't even still be mad at that. The Oklahoma, something's going on in Oklahoma City where they've turned on a dime. And I'm talking about trading everybody. Like, what has happened behind the scenes? Something's not right there. And it's obvious to me that it's not right. They might be controlling the media leaks or whatever. But to change on a dime in the middle of free agency to we already are a playoff team, to selling everybody, something's going on there. So that to me is wild. But I'm not going to hate those guys for being able to control their own destiny. More power to them.
That's your text. West Coast.
Well, I do think that there's something going on with Oklahoma City, because that was a team that also, you know, they were really one player away from, you know, competing against anybody with that, you know, with Paul George and Westbrook on there. So there is something going on there, because now, you know, they won't even have a shot at making the playoffs. That's a 35 win team now, instead of, you know, 53 wins or whatever, you know. So I don't blame the players. I mean, it sucks in the small markets, you know. You know, because you got the LAs and you got the New Yorks, and then you got the rest of us. So it, in that aspect, it's tough. But these stadiums will be full. They'll be paying all the concessions. They'll be buying the jerseys of the new players. These owners are getting richer and richer. Players get to move around with however they want. And, you know, if you can maneuver and keep a few players and, you know, gain a couple of players, you know, mid-level players, and maybe like Portland did this year, they can stay relevant. But we'll see.
And like I said, and it's a problem for the front office. It's a problem for Adam Silver. He's got to try, and he probably doesn't have any idea, which is the problem, and I don't have any ideas either, on how they can make guys, you know, stay hold to the contract. But as a fan, I'm thinking about the also-rans. Phoenix, Atlanta, Sacramento.
Whoa, Atlanta. Uh-oh.
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I'm on the West Coast. I have flight benefits. here I go. I got a choice, and this is baseball, and this is summer. Seattle gave up the pooch. They did some things that make me not even consider trying to go and see them play. I would rather go down to L.A. and be in Dodger Stadium than I would go up and get up in that mess they got going in Seattle. They got me not to be a fan of what they did up there in Seattle and their baseball program. But L.A. is doing stuff that makes me want to be a fan, because they're putting in an effort to try to compete for a championship. Seattle doesn't seem to be putting in any effort to compete anywhere.
King Griffey Jr. curse.
Hey.
I love King Griffey Jr. I was my guy. I'm just saying, just ever since he led that team, it's never the same, man.
And Ichiro is not walking through that door anymore either.
He is not a great hitter.
No.
All right. Well, like I said, I think the whole the bottom line of everything. What?
Randy Johnson.
I was waiting for Curtis to wrap a bow on that too, man, which is fantastic. All right. Let's talk about the next topic here as we move right along here. Let's talk about what's happening with Kevin Durant, and did he choose the Nets or did he choose Kyrie? And I'll lead this topic and I'll pass it to the West Coast, and then we'll go reverse and let JQ be the closer here. I'll say that I really believe that Durant chose Kyrie. So kind of where Kyrie was going to go, they decided they were going to team up and make it happen. Because, again, if Kyrie would have said, hey, let's play you know, with the Heat, he'd be like, all right, that's cool. And just it's just amazing how you know, that kind of power of tag teaming, as Rob mentioned earlier, as far as that too, and the fact that I like what JQ said, that players can kind of pick their own destiny. It doesn't matter, you know, you got billionaires here, and now the players can say, hey, let's kind of do this thing and make it work too. I'm just happy that, again, it feels like the league, there's some parity amongst the league, and anyone can kind of win, even though you're kind of looking at the Clippers as well as either the Bucks, possibly the 76ers, kind of the tops in the East, until we know what happens.
it's kind of interesting how Houston feels like the outside looking in, just as a little side note, because they're like, hey, Russell, play with us. Them Jokers will take anybody. But go ahead, West Coast. What are your thoughts on if Durant chose the Nets or if he chose Kyrie?
Well, I think he chose his buddy. I think, of course, they wanted to go somewhere that would work for them, but I think the first and foremost it was, hey, let's play together. You know, these what we were talking about earlier with these players moving around, the one thing that is halfway decent is it's not just the stars that can change their situation. It's, you know, it's those second and third tier players that also have that ability. So I guess that's the one thing that can be a positive, you know, in that whole scenario. It's not, you know, it'd be one thing if it was just the LeBron James and the, you know, the KDs and, you know, those types of players, but it's not, it's all of them. But yes, I do believe that they wanted to play together and they're in a good situation there.
Well, I want to go back to basketball culture in our country. And this has been going on now for maybe 10 years. I missed it when it happened. And I can't pinpoint when it happened. But I've noticed now, even in high school, people are buddying up and going to certain AAU teams. People are buddying up in high school and going to these storefront high schools around the country. They're not real high schools, but they buddy up and they want to play with this kid and they want to play with that kid that they know from the neighborhood or whatever. And they're even doing that going to college now. Some of the kids say, we're all going to go to Duke. We're all going to go to North Carolina. Yeah, we're all going to do this. So
nice.
That culture that I can't pinpoint when it started, but it started a little while ago, and I guess it started, I was coaching, and I remember some of the kids that I was coaching at a junior high school going off and playing for, and their parents, and it's a parent thing too, because that's a paid thing. The parents paid for those AAU appointments.
Yep.
And they wanted to do that, and they buddied up, and it was like a little clique or a little tribe or something that we're going to play together, and we're going to be the best. We're going to be better than the junior high school teams, and we're going to be better than the other teams around the Western states here. So I think that culture of that starts and has started maybe 10 years ago or however long it was, and it permeates what's going on and what we're seeing in the NBA. And it shouldn't be a surprise to none of us. We know basketball. We've seen that happen with the AAU and the storefront high schools. So what's going on in the NBA is not a surprise. And, yeah, Kyrie and Kevin Durant. But Kyrie did him a solid, and Kevin Durant's going to have to pay him back because Kyrie's going to have to carry the waters while Durant maybe sits out this whole year. buddy, you gotta this year, you got to get your butt whooped. I'll help y'all next year, though. I'll be there next year.
We got about 5 minutes. Really quick, hold that thought. Before Rob and JQ get on this, I just want to say that's a great segue to Curtis, because I think where it started, and JQ's not going to like me, but the Fab Five, man, is there ever going to be another squad like that have five guys just and able to work together, man? That was like a transformational team, man. Every time, everyone remembers that. And that's whenever it put Michigan on the map and put, like, you know, I know Kentucky's trying to get close to that, but has there ever been a squad that can come in and was so highly recruited and played well together? I don't think you're ever going to see something like that right now. Again, that's where I see the buddies that's kind of where it started, if you will, too. So, JQ, Rob, I'll let you guys, you know, kind of finish that. We got about 5 minutes here, and we'll get ready for the OT portion. But go ahead and finish that thought before we move on.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I totally agree. There was about three teams that could afford to sign them both, and I think whichever one Kyrie Irving picked, Kevin Durant was going to follow. And that came down to the Brooklyn Nets, New York, or the Los Angeles Clippers. And obviously, Brooklyn was the front runner all along. And so I totally agree. He signed to go to any team that Kyrie was going to commit to. He never even met with the Brooklyn Nets, which is surprising. So it was totally he agreed to go wherever Kyrie did and not necessarily the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, but the thing about it, too, is he's got his that company he just started in New York. I think he's already met with the Nets and over some tampering, you know, we was at business lunch, whatever kind of stuff. So he knew what he was getting, and they had already chosen this. They saw what they had in terms of assets. They basically said, you get the two of us if you let D'Angelo Russell go. Every franchise is going to do that, right? So when you got Kyrie that's from New Jersey, you talk about KD that's from Washington, but has just started a company in New York, you know, that's where his partner is located out of. I'm not surprised by that. It's fascinating how fast Brooklyn went from giving all those picks to Boston and that botched signing of, you know, Garnett and Paul Pierce to being able to be able to sign Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. That's a for real turnaround in a short period of time that they should get credit for.
And let's talk about Boston, man, talking about, you know, kind of falling. I guess they get the consolation prize, even though ironically it kind of feels like Kimba is – I'm not saying he's Isaiah Thomas, but it's kind of interesting. They like some small point guards, don't they? And so maybe they're hoping that they're going to strike, you know, lightning in the bottle twice, man, because I was looking at that time like, man, it's kind of seems like a little deja vu here, doesn't it? But, you know, again, all good. We got somebody checking in and everything like that too. Hey, we got about 3 minutes here. This may be Nas calling in. I'm not sure who's calling in, but welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man. Go ahead, caller. Hello? Okay. I got us to meet here. All right, it's all good. I'm not sure if that's Nas or not. That's good. All right, and that was on me. I was walking my pup. So call back in if you want to call back in. I apologize because I was outside walking pup. All right. So we got about 3 minutes here. We got a minute until the OT. I do want to talk about the five locks for the upcoming college football season. But before we do that, really quickly, guys, I want to just kind of talk about anything that you guys – well, we got a minute. So West Coast, if you guys can be really quick, talk about anything that you want to talk about as far as what happened over the weekend, and we'll kind of let Rob do the a quick wrap before the show. So go ahead, guys.
The Women's World Cup and the speech they gave today in New York City. Loved it.
Nice.
That's good for me, too.
I was good. Trying to let you guys have some time. I love it. Go ahead, Rob. Set the OT portion here.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports to the 12th Man. We're wrapping up the live portion of our show. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you that portion of the show live, so click on the same link on tomorrow. We have more NBA, a little football, a little baseball before we wrap up, so you definitely want to click on the same link to get the rest of our program. Click on the same link on tomorrow. Next week, we're going to be air live on Tuesday night. Once again, Tuesday night, we're going to be back on the air live on Tuesday night of next week. I believe that is the 16th, if I'm not mistaken, the 16th of July. Next Tuesday night, we'll be back on 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. We're going to be back on live on Tuesday night. So you definitely don't want to miss it. Good night.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I appreciate everybody for listening to the show. I don't know who else watched the Home Run Derby, but that was epic. On Monday night, that was a for real home run derby. That was Vlad Jr. and Jock Peterson put on the show, and then Peter Alonso beat Vlad. It was a really good show. So if you didn't get a chance to watch it on the replay, it was still worth your replay option. It was pretty good. We appreciate y'all for listening to the show. Talk to y'all next week.
Yeah, that was definitely a good highlight too, JQ, because watching Vlad go out, I thought he was going to tire himself out, which is feels like he kind of eventually did, but that talk about some power, man. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They were going back and forth, man. It was just like, normally you don't want to, like, go, like, just overextend yourself, but he was just giving everyone a show. So, kudos. I know that's an interesting topic, too, as we talk about Major League Baseball and juice balls and what, you know, everyone is talking about, too. Kind of reminds me of the Chicks Dig the Long Ball thing where baseball needed something to kind of attract those fans. But we'll talk about that, too. But, again, we are officially going to jump into the OT portion here, and we'll definitely talk some baseball. I got to show some love to my Braves who are knocking out the month of June with the best records in baseball. Shout out to the Braves right there, man, doing their thing, man, because Robert wants to always talk about his Yankees and for Gary as well. But it's all good. Hey, give us a follow-up.
We have the Braves on the topics today.
I'm still going to throw them in there, man. You do that all the time. You know. But they had a phenomenal June, man. They were killing it. I love it. Best record in baseball in the month of June. Hey, So give me some five locks here for the upcoming college football season, Rob.
All right. Here are my quick five locks for the season, and maybe a little bold. Some may not be bold. I have Oklahoma and Texas, 1 and 2 as the Big 12. So that's one of my locks. I think they are definitely 1 and 2 in that order as far as finishing the Big 12, Oklahoma and Texas. Oklahoma cannot have another Heisman winning quarterback this year. That cannot happen. And I don't think it's going to happen this year. But I do think they're still the best team in the Big 12. Texas is going to be the second best team in the Big 12. They do have some concerns on offensive, defensive line, but they're so talented everywhere else. And they're going to have a few growing pains in the early part of the season until some of their offensive, defensive line mature. But I think they are 1 and 2. In the Big 12. Second bold prediction, and that I think is a lock, Clemson will go 13-0. The second best team in the ACC this year is a distant second from Clemson.
There we go.
Okay. Are we back?
We're back.
Right.
I don't
know.
You
guys hear my lock?
That was weird. I just heard something about 13-0 Clemson. Some crack that was being passed
around. Distant second. Who's your distant second?
I guess. Damn.
No, just with Clemson. Well, yeah.
That's all.
Go for it.
I said Clemson will go 13-0 this year. I said the rest of the ACC, the second best team in the ACC is a distant second. So their schedule sets up for them to go undefeated. And then the next one I said, expect another Clemson and Alabama national championship game. They have the two best quarterbacks, arguably in the country, and they're loaded elsewhere. And the fourth one, I threw JQ Nugget. Ohio State will be better on offense this year with Justin Fields at quarterback than Dwayne Haskins. They will be better offensively this year. And last but not least, Notre Dame will lose at Georgia,
and they will be 9-3 at best. They got a tough schedule, tough road games too. Stanford, Michigan, Duke. So I think Notre Dame goes 9-3 at best.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
JQ? Are you still on JQ? Okay. West Coast?
I'm watching, and I'm not going to do too many predictions, but what I want to see Oregon win the Pac-12. I want to see Oregon win the Pac-12. They got a shot. They got an Auburn game. They got Washington coming in at Austin Stadium. Justin Hubert, if he can win the Pac-12, and if he can get in the conversation for that four-game bowl thing, he's going to be the number one quarterback to come out in the draft. Harbaugh, I think it's set up for him to win that Big 12 or Big whatever they're calling it. Boy, but, you know, Harbaugh's got a horrible record against teams that are ranked. Horrible. And I don't know if he can afford to go horrible on teams that are ranked this year. Jalen, the quarterback that lost his spot, I think he went to Oklahoma. He went somewhere that's going to have me interested in what he does at his new college. I think it's Oklahoma, actually, that he transferred to. And, of course, you know, I was born on the Red River Shootout with Oklahoma, Texas, down there in Dallas, Texas, at the Dallas State Fair. I was born on that. And so college football is going to be fun, but it's not going to be fun to have Clemson and Alabama in another national championship.
I agree.
That's going to be, you know, those two schools and everybody else being an also-ran. And nobody's going to – I'm not going to like that.
Yeah.
But
JQ,
college football is such.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Kerry. I was with you. I was agreeing with you. I mean, we're on the same page. We don't want that to happen. Go ahead. Finish your thought, bro. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
Okay.
So, Rob, I wanted to ask you a question. So, the Miami Hurricanes, they've made some good moves. They've done a lot of good things this offseason. You don't think that that they can make a run at you think Clemson's just that heads, you know, above everyone else in that conference? This is Miami Hurricanes. Yeah.
I think Miami's still a distant second at best when it comes to the ACC. Clemson is far and away the best team in that conference, above Miami, including Florida State as well.
Well, like I said, again, you got to give Rob some thoughts here. But you know what? I will say, I mean, I'm not trying to be a homer here by any means, but I definitely like what Georgia Tech is doing, man. I know they're far down, but Jeff Collins is getting some good recruits, man. So just keep an eye on Georgia Tech in the future, man. I'm excited to see the future about what's happening there too, man. So I know they're not in Clemson.
Man,
it's
Georgia Tech,
but I definitely
win the ACC.
No one said that they're going to compete, Rob. Listen to what I'm saying. I just said I like what they're doing. I like what Jeff Collins. He's getting a lot of good recruits, man. No one's saying that they're going to challenge Clemson this year by any means, but I do like what's happening, man. I'm so excited to see. We get a lot of good recruits, man. All I'm going to say in that function. All right. We got the locks. Let's wrap this up. This is definitely for Curtis and Gary. I want you guys to talk about what we can expect from Dak Prescott and the Cowboys this season. So you have the floor, Curtis and Gary, for the next whatever. You have as much time, and we'll wrap this up as well. So go ahead.
Well, Dak Prescott's about ready to get paid, so we're expecting him to play like you know, like he's going to be getting paid. That's what we're hoping for. They've got the weapons there. They're going to have a top five or six defense, I think, in the NFL. I think their linebackers are probably the best linebackers in the league. Dak Prescott. Yeah, Dak Prescott, if he he's got some weapons there with Amari Cooper, some of these young guys coming up, I think he'll do well. I'm excited to see how Kellen Moore, their offensive coordinator, quarterback out of Boise State, this is going to be his first year, and what I understand, it's going to be a completely different offense. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got up his sleeve, but they're pretty excited about it. So I think that they're going to win the NFC East. I don't think the Eagles are going to be winning the NFC East. I think the Eagles are going to be taking second pick, but both teams will make the playoffs.
So I'm perplexed because the odds in Vegas is the Eagles going to win that division. And you know, of course, I don't want that. They got to prove it. They got to prove it. And they got the weapons. They should be in the NFC championship game. They really should. And the Cowboys, the first thing they need to do, I mean, the only focus I think they should have is winning that NFC East. They got to win that East. So they got to go through Philadelphia. They got to go through Washington. You know, they got to win that division. And that division is not going to be easy. The Cowboys have to win that. If they can't win that division, this will be a failure season for the Cowboys. But because Jason Witten came out of the broadcast booth, and I think he's a smart guy. I think he sees something. And I think he sees something. I think he sees an opportunity here to make an impact with the Cowboys, America's favorite team.
Okay.
Jason Witten said that this will be the best Cowboy team he's ever played for.
That's what he said about this team this year.
Wow. I will say this. I do think the Cowboys are the most talented team in that division, and they are loaded defensively too. And so I definitely, as much as I don't like the Cowboys, I do think they are the favorite to win the East this year. Carson Wentz, even though they have a better quarterback than the Cowboys, I just think the Cowboys have more talent around Dak Prescott than the Eagles have around Carson Wentz. But I do think the Eagles are the second-best team in that division as well. But I have to say that the Cowboys definitely are the favorites in the NFC East.
So you're starting to come around. Good job.
I try to be objective.
I appreciate that.
You
were kind of gritting your teeth a little bit, I thought I heard, but that's fine.
America's team.
Let's wrap this up here. Let's wrap this up here, and I'll let you guys do your last thought because no one wants to end on the Eagles, man. But again, as far as what's happening, I know that Carson Wentz is under a ton of pressure, I believe, man, because, again, you lost your safety net in Nick Foles, and there's a lot of Philly fans that aren't quite sure what's going to happen. If you're the Eagles organization, you had to get rid of Nick because you're impeding the development of Carson. But like you said, the Cowboys, they have made some awesome moves. That linebacker crew, like you talked about, gentlemen, that you talked about, Gary, it's definitely on par, man. So, again, if you are the Eagles, you got to play the game, man. But, you know, if you're the Eagles, what's your thoughts on that too, guys?
Well, you know, Carson Wentz, he seems to be fragile. Now, let's see if he can put in a full season, and then let's see if he can stay healthy for the playoffs. That's the big thing. You know, he got him to the playoffs, but he didn't play. He had to pass that off, and guess what? He was injured, and he didn't get anything. So he hasn't done any more than Dak Prescott. As far as Dak Prescott, you know, since he started for the Cowboys, there's only one quarterback in the league that has more wins than him, and that's Tom Brady. Look that up.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
I like it.
Philadelphia, though, they're scary, and their fans go for blood up there in Philadelphia in all their sports.
Oh, yeah. they're mean.
They got a fan base, boy, that they have to answer to in Philadelphia. And like I said, the last I looked, and I got to look again, in Vegas they were the favorite to win the NFC East. And I, you know, but, you know, everything's on paper. And there I go again. And in all my, you know-how and all the sports I've watched over all my years, teams that come in focused and hungry get it done. And the Cowboys, they need to come in focused and hungry, because they can get a game away from being in the Super Bowl.
Rod?
Who?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think the Cowboys are definitely a contender, as much as I hate to say it. And I do think they're my pick to win the NFC East this year. So, I mean, when you look at their linebacking core, their defensive line, they have what it takes to compete with a championship, a running game. Dak Prescott, not a great quarterback, solid, not great. Enough of them to win ball games.
Right.
Yeah, you know, with Dak, you're right. On paper, he doesn't look. He's just not flat. He's not pretty. He's not, you know, a Drew Brees or a Tom Brady or any of those. Aaron Rodgers. But he is one of those quarterbacks, and we've seen it. And we've seen it since he's been in the league, where, man, he can bring that team back. And for whatever reason, whether it's taking off running or, you know, just making the right move, he tends to do that when it counts. And that's the one thing I do like about it.
Nice.
He's not a guy that's going to throw 300 yards a game or anything like that, but he doesn't make a lot of the big mistakes either. So
there it is. All right, I'll throw you guys a bone as we wrap this up. You guys can talk about your Yankee dominance, and then we'll wrap it up, man. Wrap up the show. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, we look at the Yankees. Well, obviously the Yankees are swinging the bat is probably better than any team in the majors this year, and probably any team in the majors in a long time. I mean, that lineup is just loaded. And
the Braves are good too.
Yeah, the next thing too would be for them, Severino. We don't know if he's going to be back this year. I think they could use one more pitcher to kind of solidify their run to win the World Series this year. And that I think that could solidify them having a real strong chance at winning the whole thing. I think they do need to solidify with one more pitcher if possible.
Who's on your wish list for that? Who'd you like to see him get?
I don't really know, and hopefully they'll be able to find someone. And but I'll be honest, I don't know if I have anyone on the wish list.
There it is. I didn't really have any idea, but I think you would have the answer.
I love it.
I don't.
Hey,
I'm sorry, America.
It's all good. It's been fun. All right, let's wrap this up, gentlemen. Let's go ahead and wrap up another edition of Talking Sports from 12th Man here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all again for tuning in to another edition
We will be back on air live on next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, going back Tuesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss our coverage. We're getting closer and closer to football season here. We're getting closer to getting you ready. And you never know, with a crazy NBA, there's been something going on ever since the end of the finals. So we got to keep you posted if something is going to go on in the NBA world as well. Good night, people.
We normally don't have JQ to fill us in, too. So, West Coast, would you got anything to say as we wrap this up?
I wanted to say we had a good show tonight. I wanted to give a shout out to my sister. She's in the hospital. She's a huge, huge Blazer fan. So it's a shout out to Vicky Jackson, my older sister.
Vicky?
If we can listen to this, so say hello to Vicky, everyone.
Hello, Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
Nice, Vicky. Good call. Hope your family's doing well, too, by the way, man. Again, your mom's still like that, too. A lot of love. All right, guys. Again, it's been an excellent show. Yes. You know, we had to throw that in there as always, man. So, again, shout out to the wifey. My wife, she's in California, too, dealing with some stuff, too. But, again, a lot of love. You guys have a great, great week. We'll keep an eye on what happens with any sports news that comes up. We will keep an eye on the poll tonight as well, too. So have a great evening, guys. Great week, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.